have calculated 7 lakhs is the actual cost. What is 785? If you will see the cost of inflation index for the previous year, 2011-12, you will find the value placed in what you call that previous year, that is 785. And what is 463? It was not 465, it is 463. So divided by 463. What is 463? 463 is the value of the previous year, index of the previous year, that is what you call it, this is 463. Now, if we calculate this, we find total cost is 11,86,825. What was our actual cost? Our actual cost was 7 lakhs. The total cost is 11,86,825. That means I have inflated my cost from 7 lakhs to 11 lakhs. That means there is a, what you call it, indexation to the extent of 4,86,825. That is the rise in the cost. Can I say now my index cost is 11,86,825 instead of 7 lakhs? Now, what is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is very simple, that the value, if you want to purchase a house which was available to you in 2003, 4 rupees 7 lakhs, you will have to pay 11,86,825 for the same very house. This is because of inflation. So what is inflation? If the lot of money is required for less of goods, that is inflation. Therefore, what is the meaning? I require to purchase the same very house, rupees 11,86,825 for same very house if I want to purchase. That means I am comparing now equals with equals, apples with apples, because this 30 lakhs has got the element of, what you call it, the element of inflation. Now, having understood this, let me explain to you the meaning of expenses on index cost of improvement. Now, what is the meaning of index cost of improvement? Let us calculate index cost of improvement. Same formula, cost of improvement into CII of the previous year, in the previous year when the asset was transferred, transferred means sold, divided by CII of the previous year in the when the asset was acquired. But here we are concerned with the when the asset was improved. So that, let us understand. So what is the actual cost of improvement? The actual cost of improvement is rupees, what do you call it, 2 lakhs into CII of previous year of transfer. The asset was transferred, of course, in this previous year 11-12. That means the previous year is 11-12 and the CII value is 785 divided by CII of the previous year. In case the asset was improved in that previous year, what was the cost of inflation index? The cost of inflation index, now when it was improved, the asset was improved in on 18-6-2005. That means the previous year will be 0506. right? So 0506, the improvement value index is 497. Now the total cost, improvement cost, will be 3,15,895. This is the index cost of improvement. That means today, if you improve this asset, the same asset which you paid 2 lakhs rupees in 2005, you will require not 2 lakhs rupees, you will require 3,15,895 rupees for that improvement, because the money value has been reduced, the intrinsic value has come down. That's why you will require that. So 3,15,895 shall be the total expenses. Have you understood the meaning of indexation? This is how we have to compute the indexation. So what is the total amount? 11,86,825 plus 3 lakhs plus this. So let us calculate. 11,86,000 plus 1 lakh, 12,86,000 plus 3 lakhs, 15,86,000 plus 86 plus 14, 16 lakhs. So we will calculate the total cost here. 1 lakh plus 11,86,825 plus 3,15,895. This gives me 16,02,720. And when I reduce, this is the total cost including improvement. So when I reduce 16,02,720 from 30 lakhs, now I get 13,97,280. 13,97,280 is my long-term capital gain. What I did? What is the difference between long-term and short-term, my difference? The difference between long-term and short-term is, in long-term, we apply indexation. And what is, how you will apply indexation? The indexation is applied by considering the index values which you will get on your computers, on your Google search or any search. So these values are given and you have to just replace the values. Here in the numerator, it shall always be the transfer. That is the previous year in which the asset was transferred. Here it shall always be the previous year in which the asset was acquired or the asset was improved. So this is how you have to consider. This is your total long-term capital gain. Now the question arises. Once you have understood this, let us understand as to, in this case, suppose salary of this gentleman is 7 lakhs and capital gain, that is long-term capital gain as per calculation, is 13,97,280. So this comes to 20,97,280 is the total taxable income. Now my question is, what shall be the amount of tax? Now you know very well, long-term capital gain, LTCG, 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 long-term capital gain, LTCG, less tax on capital gain. The maximum margin rate in India under section 2, subsection 29C is 30%. But if it is a long-term capital gain, the tax rates are, what you call it, 20%. So here, how I'll calculate the tax? First, this is my normal income. This is my special income. So I'll calculate the tax on normal income. What is my normal income? 7 lakhs. So up to 2 lakhs, no tax. 2 lakhs to 5 lakhs. This is 10%, that is 30,000. And above 5 lakhs, so 5 lakhs to 10 lakhs. But I have to calculate only up to 7 lakhs. So 2 lakhs, that is 20%, that is 40,000. So total tax is 70,000. Now, so 7 lakhs, the total tax is 70,000. Now, my dear friends, this is for this income only. Right? Now, I have also to calculate tax on this amount. On this amount, add 20% of 13,97,280. That is 20% of 13,97,280. The tax rate will be 2,79,456. Now the question arises, what shall be the total tax payable? So 2,79,456 is the special tax rate, plus 70,000 is the this one tax on salary. So 3,49,456. That is total tax will be 3,49,456 plus 3% education cess will be your total tax rate for this year. This is how you have to compute the long-term capital gain. What we have understood in long-term capital gain? That in long-term capital gain, cost of the asset and the cost of improvement must be indexed. Should you not ask me that why we have not indexed the expenses on transfer? We have not indexed the expenses on transfer because the expenses on transfer are in the same very year. It has nothing to do with the old records. In this year only it has been transferred. That's why I am not covering the expenses on transfer. Now, suppose I purchased the asset, say, same question, on, say, 1-6-1959. Now I purchased the asset, same asset, on 1-6-1959. How I will get the index values? Because the assessment year of purchase, the previous year of purchase will be 59-60. How I should get, or where, from where I'll get the index values for this particular year? That's why Income Tax Act says that if the asset is purchased prior to 1481, if the asset is purchased prior to 1481, then the CII values shall be from 81-82 previous year. It shall be from 81-82. So 81-82 previous year CII values start from previous year 81-82, and it is 100 is the base value. So if I purchase the asset on 1-6-1959, my CII value of the date of acquisition will be, what do you call it, instead of 785, it shall, instead of, what do you call it, the denominator, whatever is the value, that will change to 100. So please understand, if the asset, that is capital asset, is purchased or acquired prior to 1481, then the CII value shall start from 81-82 previous year, which is the base year, that is 100. Then next year it is 81-82, 100. 82-83, it is 109. 83-84, it is 116. 84-85, it is 125. 85-86, it is 133. 86-87, it is 140. 87-87, it is 87-88, it is 150, etc., etc. 2010-11, it was 711. 2011-12, it is 785. Like this, the values keep on changing for every financial year because the inflation keeps on increasing. So you have to make the comparison with equality. That's why, because now I require 11 lakhs rupees to purchase the same house which I purchased in 2005. This is how the logic goes, and this is how we have calculated the long-term capital gain. Special tax is there at the rate of 20%. Now, after understanding as to how to compute the short-term capital gain, how to compute the long-term capital gain, now I am coming on a very important point in case of shares. So, in case of shares, securities, if these are held for more than 1 year, it is a long-term capital asset. Very simple. In case of shares and securities, if they have been held for more than 1 year, then they are long-term capital asset. However, suppose I have got a share of X Limited and I purchase this share from a broker or share a broker, and the broker is from recognized stock exchange. So if I purchase shares of X Limited from a broker who is a broker with a recognized stock exchange, say I purchased 100 shares of X Limited for rupees 20,000 on 11-4-2012. Now, I have sold these shares, these 100 shares, when the price was more and I got 40,000 rupees. When I sold it on 13-5-2013. Now, the question arises whether it's a long term or a short term. Since it is shares, it is a long term because it has been held for more than 1 year. So the requirement of 3 years is not applicable, not relevant in the case of shares, securities, units, units of UTI, units of mutual fund, etc., etc., zero coupon bonds. Now, once it is a long-term capital gain, I come to know, that once it is a long-term capital gain, I come to know that I made a profit. Wow! How much amount? I made 20,000 rupees profit. This again, this is a surplus. Now the question arises, shall I be liable to pay tax on this 20,000 rupees as capital gain tax? Now, the answer of this question depends on two things. First, if the shares have been sold, please understand, mind my words. If the shares have been sold through a recognized stock exchange, that is NSE, BSE, Calcutta Stock Exchange, etc., etc., so many stock exchanges are there in the country. So, if the shares have been sold through a recognized stock exchange and those have been held for more than 1 year, then under section 10, subsection 38 of the Income Tax Act, the total amount of gain shall be exempt to tax. Again, I will repeat, please understand, students. In case of shares, if the shares have been sold through recognized stock exchange, through a recognized stock exchange, and these shares have been held by the investor for more than a year, then any surplus, any profit, any gain shall be exempt to tax under section 10, subsection 38. What are the two conditions? The first condition is that it must be shares. Second condition, it must have been sold through a recognized stock exchange. And once it is sold, the entire amount of gain is exempt. Why so? Why this benefit is given that under section 10, subsection 38, the entire amount is exempt? Because the stock exchanges, they levy a tax called as security transaction tax. So while purchasing, while selling, the investor has to pay the tax in the form of security transaction tax, which we call it as STT, which has come after 1/10/2004. And once the security transaction tax has been paid by the investor on the transaction, which has taken place through a recognized stock exchange, this amount shall again not be taxed under income tax by virtue of section 10, subsection 38 of the income tax. I already told you, whenever section 10 comes, you must understand it is an exemption section. Section 10, subsection 1, agricultural income is exempt. Section 10, subsection 16, scholarship is exempt. Section 10, subsection 26, income of the trade union is exempt. Section 10, subsection 34, dividend income is exempt, etc., etc., etc. So this is how you have to understand. But what happens when the shares have been sold within a year? So here, if I sell my shares on, say, 11/9/2012, and I make a profit of 20,000. Same transaction, same thing, but the date, I have changed the date. Now, in this case, if the shares have been held for less than 12 months and the same have been sold through a recognized stock exchange, then you will have to pay tax under section 111A of the Income Tax Act. You have to pay the tax at the rate of 15%. So if the shares are long term, would you like to keep the make the shares as long term or short term? Tell me, students. Yeah, I know you would say that long term because the entire surplus gets exempted. Very good. But there are times where we are in need of money. We want to churn our portfolio. In that case, we may sell the shares at a shorter period, then we'll have to pay tax at a reduced rate. That is 15% of the tax. This is under Section 111A of the Income Tax Act. Now, why this reduced tax and why there is no tax in long term? Because security transaction tax is levied on the transactions of shares. That's why in Constitution of India, one person cannot be taxed twice on the same transaction. Drawing that analogy, we can say this is exempt under income tax because he's already paying the tax under security transaction tax, and security transaction tax is also part of Finance Act. So one person cannot be asked to pay tax twice. Now, last point I would like to tell you. Suppose Mr. A has shares of X Limited, 100 shares. And nowadays you must have come across certain news items that SEBI has asked the companies to reduce their holdings. Now, or any other company, this X Limited goes for a buyback. It has made a substantial profit. It doesn't want any takeover. So this X Limited, now in the market price of the share is say 130 rupees in share market, market price, market value. But the company X Limited is offering rupees 160 per share. Naturally, any investor would like to sell the shares not in the market but to the company, that is called as buyback. Now the question arises, when Mr. A, who was holding the shares of X Limited for more than 1 year and he has offered his shares under a buyback scheme to the company itself, shall this amount of profit or gain or surplus be exempt to tax even if it is held for more than 1 year? The answer is no. Why? Because security transaction tax has not been levied by the company. So please understand, this is the essence of the transaction. If this has been deducted, nothing will be paid further by way of. Same case in the case of mutual fund. Absolutely same case. When you redeem your mutual funds, which are equity oriented funds, after a year, the mutual fund, while redeeming your amount, while giving back your amount, would deduct security transaction tax. Once STT has been deducted, again, the person would not be liable to pay the tax thereof. So today, we will do this much. Next time, we will further continue with the same topic.